Are you feeling pressure?
Me too.
If religious pressure is too much, work pressure is too much, school, family, society, air pressure, all the pressures, if it's too much, then you're in the right place. I'm Kyle, online community pastor here at Crossroads, and it's my job to equip you for the adventurous life that God has made you for. Today, my friend and mentor, Brian's gonna tell us about the pressure in rules, where they come from, and how to deal with it all just a little bit better. One thing we never want you to feel pressure around is giving. Here, we make the call as a community to be obedient to God, and for us, that looks like giving. If you wanna try it with no pressure attached, we have something called the tithe test. It's pretty simple. You try tithing for 90 days, and at the end of those 90 days, you don't feel more of God in your life, we'll give you all of your money back. Now, I know hundreds of people who have done the tithe test. By the way, if you're one of them, way to go. If you send in a prayer request, I want you to know that I'm praying for you. And if you want to sign up for that today, just go to crossroads.net/giving. Here's Brian.
You know, rules are really important, especially as it relates to deodorant, showing a little bit right now, and urinals. Ladies, let me give you a secret. Guys, let me get something really, really clear. When you go into the men's bathroom, urinal selection is critical, and that means there must always be a space between you and the next, not space, no, I mean an entire urinal space between you and the next person. And on top of that, if you have to be right beside the person or right beside me because it's a very crowded bathroom, that's okay. You just can't look at me. Don't look at me. Don't look at me. No, no. You look straight ahead into that ceramic tile as if it contained the recipe for turning dust into gold dust. Never make eye contact, ever. Rules are a good thing, but they can also be an entirely overwhelming thing. In the beginning of our series, Back to Better, this is the end of our series, but we're going to go back to the verse I used at the very beginning of the series. We're not trying to go back to normal. We're trying to get back to better. We're not trying to get back to the way things were. We're trying to say, wherever I am right now, what's better? And we looked at this verse. I'm going to look at it in even more depth today. It comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 11. It's what Jesus says. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Whenever I read that, I just kind of go, it's so good. It's really good. Here's what many people don't understand about this verse. Sometimes you read the verse in the Bible, you have to pick out certain words and emphasize them. If we read this verse emphasizing my and I, it sounds totally different. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me. When we emphasize those words, we see that he's actually differentiating himself from other religious leaders. This is massive, massive. Many of us have seen old depictions of Moses coming down from Mount Sinai, bringing the law, the Ten Commandments, the law of God down to the people. You've seen it or you've heard of it. It comes down with these stone tablets, and that's known as the written law. That's the stuff that's in the Bible. It's written down. God gave it to Moses written down. But in Judaism, there's two laws. There's the written law, and there is the oral law. You might have heard of different rabbinical schools of thought, or this rabbi says this, or that rabbi says that. What that is coming from is that the Jews believe that Moses also was told things by God, and Moses then brought these oral instructions down that weren't actually written down in the stone, and he passed those on to the next generation, who passed on the next generation, and so on and so on. That's why these rabbinical schools of thought, they're able to say, look, we heard this stuff came straight from Moses. We got this. That guy over there didn't get it. And that's why there's differences of opinion in that. So you can imagine, if you think it's hard to follow all the things in the Bible, if now layered on top of that, there's a bunch of things that aren't in the Bible, but are just as important and were given to Moses, now you've got even a more oppressive system that guts on you. I don't want to get back to normal. I don't want to go back to Mount Sinai and have even more laws and more rules. The truth is, right now, I believe in America, in our culture, we have more rules than we've ever had before. The truth is, it's understandable that we're tired and we're weary and we're overburdened because our culture keeps putting more and more expectations on us. It just doesn't end. I have behind me here a whole bunch of things, just buckets of rules and expectations that you and I are supposed to keep, the culture tells us we're supposed to keep, that are nowhere in the Bible, not written down anywhere. There's nothing in the Bible. Well, there is some things about work, but there's not a lot about work. There's nothing the Bible tells you about what your road trip rules are supposed to be like, how you're supposed to behave on a road trip, or fortunately not in a urinal. A lot of these things, they're important. And as I go through these, I'm not saying that these rules or these maybe principles don't have some health, that they don't have some value. I just want us to see in a way that you might not have ever seen before, you cannot do, and I cannot do, everything culture expects us to do that isn't really all that important to God. Let's start off here. Let's just start with this one here, the physical one. Oh, goodness. Of course, the physical one is the incredible heavy one. The physical one. God cares about our bodies. I agree. He doesn't care about it as much as we do. Or not as much as some of us do. Think about the rules they're giving us about your physical fitness. Not many of us may do these things, but it's put on you all the time, and you may not do it. How many times a week you're supposed to work out. When you work out, make sure you do cardio after weight resistance. Or make sure, I found this one out just the other day, you've got to really should be sleeping not 8 hours a night, which some of us struggle with, but no, you need to be doing circadian rhythms. I said, what is that? I said, oh, that's circadian rhythms. That's when you go to bed when the sun goes down and you wake up when the sun comes up. I'm like, oh gosh, now I got a new rule around sleeping I didn't know. Here's another one I just found out. This guy, same guy was telling me about it. He said, yeah, you need to be drinking half of your body weight in water. Like, okay, I weigh about 200 pounds. 100 ounces of water? Are you freaking kidding me? 100 ounces. Oh, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. I'm very healthy. Every time I go to the doctor and they do all this stuff, I'm all good. I've never drank 100 ounces of water in the bottom. I'm thinking, well, maybe I ought to improve. Maybe I got to go to the next level. So next day, I did 100 ounces of water. Hated it. I'll never do it again. It was peed all day. It was awful. Now, I guess if I get more hydrated, maybe won't that be that big of a deal. But, you know, I have friends. Every time I'm with them, they're on a new thing, the gallon challenge, juicing, a new thing. And sometimes I just feel oppressed because I go, I can't keep up. These are not rules that I need to have. And that's just in the physical realm. There's other ones that that may exist around here, like goals. Goals. Studies are very clear. Statistics are very clear that our youngest generations in America are more stressed out than they've ever been or more than you have ever been. There's more anxiety reigning than ever before in younger generations. It's not because younger generations are weaker, definitely not. It's not because the younger generations have different DNA, definitely not. It's not because the younger generations don't have, you know, the strength or potential that others do. But why is there such rampant anxiety and medication and depression in a line that it's never happened before? One of the reasons, or at least possibilities, is the expectations and rules that are put on you if you are younger that were never put on the rest of us. Like, you're supposed to figure out by age 15 exactly what you're going to do for a living. And then that's going to inform whether or not you go to college. You need to make that inform who your graduate school. If you're going to do graduate school, you have to have that. And so you feel like if I'm 16 and I don't know really what I want to do for a living, I'm a failure. I can't do it. If I'm 20 and I'm 1 year away from graduating college, but I don't have a job secured and I'm still not sure what I want to do, my life is over. And I got to tell you, no one knows at 16 what they're going to do for a living. No one. In fact, very, very, very few people know at 20 have any idea. You look at all the successful people that you know who are in their 40s, and you said, man, did you ever see your life going the way it was right now? And they'd say, no, never saw this job coming. Never saw it. It worked out well. I was diligent, did the right things, and boom. But the rules that you have to have this kind of education, you have to know this, you have to know that, you have to have this kind of SAT score, you have to, the rules are oppressive and crushing. And Jesus would say, take my yoke upon you, not cultures. We're not even talking about social media and the expectations there. The rules, you have more rules on you today as an American, I believe, than you've ever had on you before. And it starts to weigh us down. How about, here's one here. Politics. Political. I know we're all over the map politically at crossroads. That's a good thing. But there's also a bad thing about that, about us being as into politics as we are, is that I don't think America's ever been into politics as much as it is now. It just never stops being talked about. It's not election time. It's all the time on and on and on. I'm telling you, it was not the way it used to be. We're layering more and more rules on top of us. And based on whether you're on the right or whether you're on the left, you know the rules that come your way. Here's what you have to believe. Here's what you have to think. Here's what you have to act. It's nonstop. It's rules that weigh us down. I think this is part of what's happening with vaccines. I'm so sorry to go here again. I get bludgeoned every time I do. Just want to give you just something to think about, how the rules may fit into this. I've been vaccinated. I think it's a good idea. And if you choose to not get vaccinated, you haven't been vaccinated, great. Support your right to do that, support your freedoms, all that stuff, yada, yada, yada. Here's, though, what I think is happening for many of us who are choosing not to get vaccinated. I don't think it's so much about whatever data you believe or whatever figure that you follow that says something you agree with. Part of what's happening, at least this was me, why I was so hesitant for a while, is I'm just tired of people telling me what to do. I'm just sick of it. I'm sick of being told what to believe about this. I'm sick of masking. I'm sick of double masking. I'm sick of being told if you don't think this, then you're a bad person. It's an oppressive layering on of rules that is outside of whatever God thinks. And so finally, it's like, you know what? I'm not taking your freaking vaccine. You're not gonna stick me in the arm. You're putting stuff on me nonstop, and I just can't take anymore. I think this happens with a lot of us because we're burdened, we're wearied down by all of these sorts of things. Here's one, family. This is a massive burden that we have, the family burden. Some of us are just incredibly stressed that we don't have a family, or at least we don't have the family that we think we should have. We're stressed about not being married. I hear people say, you know, I have a calling to be married. If you're not married, you have zero understanding whether or not you have a calling to be married. There's no person in the Bible that had a calling to be married. None. It could be good to be married, maybe you're the right person, but then again, this is a rule that even the church puts on us. Oh, I think I saw it. This is a rule the church puts on us that unless you're married, you're really not close to God, or your life is not what all it could be. People in the Bible are not called to marry. It's not a calling from God. It's a good thing. I'm pro-marriage. I love marriage, but I can't tell you how many people I've met who are stressed out because they're 23 and they're not married. They're stressed out because their family life doesn't look the way it's supposed to. It's because the layering on of rules is stifling you. And then if you do get married, then and if you do have kids, oh my gosh, look out. Get ready for the rules to start stacking up. How you're supposed to raise your kids, what age you're supposed to have kids by. Things like don't have the TV babysit your kids. Let me just be very helpful for you. Use the television to babysit your kids. It's going to be okay. It is. I was babysat by a TV. I turned out just fine. And so are a lot of people. Seriously, it's one of the rules. It's like, can't do that. And what's being told right now is if you are a parent, you're going to let your kids have screen time, you have to have it with them. You have to sit there and watch the same stuff and then talk about it. It's a rule. It's a burden you just can't take. I ran across this statistic in the New York Times. It said, today mothers spend nearly 5 hours a week, 5 hours a week on shuttling kids around, compared with 1 hour and 45 minutes in 1975. So 3 hours and 15 minutes a week more is spent shuttling kids around than it was with my parents. Why? Because that's the rules. When your kids want to do an activity, you got to do an activity. You got to have to do this. You have to have them do everything. That's just the rules, and it's oppressive, and it's stifling. And we haven't even started yet. I haven't even gotten started yet. What else do we want to pick out here? Here's one. How about social media? What we're supposed to do in social media, we have to have people see us and how cool we are in social media and all of our great vacations and all that stuff that's happening. Oh my goodness, here. Oh, and of course, let's just have the financial discussion right now. Oh, you need to have 6 months cash on hand at all times. 6 months cash on hand has got to be there. Really? This says that in the Bible where? Did all of Jesus' disciples have 6 months cash on hand? Did Jesus have 6 months cash on hand? Maybe he did. Maybe he did. And maybe it's a good idea. Maybe that could make you be more free. But notice our culture, it's another, you got to have 6 months cash on hand. You got to put 30% of your savings or of your income into retirement, or you've got to this, or you got to do this financially, or you have to make sure you have a house by this amount of time, or if you don't have a house, you have to do, or you have to pay cash for your car. Where does the Bible say you have to pay cash for your car? It doesn't matter. That's just what they're supposed to have. Or you have to do this. And all these things, I may do a good portion of these things, and those things may be smart, but it adds to the layer of rules and weight that drive. And guess what? When you're like this, you can't get to better. You can't go to the next place because you're so weighed down, you just can't move. And all you want to do is go back to maybe when it was normal, when you might be thinking is, back when I had fewer rules placed on me. Back when there was fewer restrictions that were placed upon me. Of course, how we clean our house, that's critical. Exactly how you do it. Here's one, Uber conversations. What's the rules? Do I talk to the Uber driver or do I not talk to the Uber driver? And these things just crush us. So I gotta tell you, I just want to take these off already. Oh. There's actually weight in some of those. The book of Colossians, chapter 2, verse 22 and following, says, if with Christ you died to the elemental spirits of the world, why, as if you were still alive in the world, do you submit to its regulations? All these regulations I just talked about. Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch, save 30%, sleep circadian rhythms, don't have your kids watch the TV. Drink 100 ounces of water, referring to things that all perish as they are used, according to human precepts and teachings. And it says this, these indeed have an appearance of wisdom in promoting self-made religion. All those packs were so stifling. But man, when you take on the burden of Jesus, he says, take my yoke upon you, because my yoke is easy, my burden is light. He's also living water. I mean, there's things that Jesus wants us to do, and we should do. There's some things, not all these things. Let me tell you, I cannot do what people want me to do. I cannot. I regularly will let people down because I've chosen I cannot bear the weight of the expectations that other people have for me. I'll have people say, man, aren't you tired of wearing the same shirt? I mean, you got freaking dad jeans on. Well, that's because I'm a dad and they're jeans. So yeah, I guess I have some dad jeans on. And no, I don't really care about my fashion at all. Not at all, not remotely. I can't keep up. I look at what other people who speak before a bunch of people, how they look and how much time they must spend on their wardrobe. And I go, I can't do it. That's just a burden. That's an expectation. That's a law of what a person like me is supposed to look like that I'm choosing. I'm not going to do. I want to do what Jesus wants me to do. I'll do some things in here that are wise, but I can't do them all. Jesus, it's a sip of fresh water. It's a sip of fresh water, and he brings a limited amount of expectations.
This is what God wants, not from you. He wants this for you. It's what Jesus wants for you. Simplify your life. Make things easier. Now, I just talked about being very wary of taking expectations on. I want to give you a challenge, though. I'm not going to give you a law. I'm not going to give you a rule. But I want to give you a challenge, something that I encourage you to put inside of your backpack. We have a journey coming up. It's a multi-pronged spiritual growth approach to a specific area of life. And this year, it's called Heroes. We all want to be heroic. What does that mean? How am I heroic? How do I live my best life? How am I actually great? We're going to talk about that, and you're going to need to be in a group talking with people. I'm not giving you a law, thou must, or else God doesn't love you. I'm asking you to consider shedding some of your previous commitments for a five-week period and getting inside of a group. I think you'll be lighter as a result of it. I think you'll be better as a result of it. You will be better, not back at normal. Let me pray for you right now. God, I thank you for bringing the simplicity of Christ to my life, the simplicity of the right expectations. God, I'm sorry for picking up too many things and letting too many people stuff things into my backpack and into my life. I want to repent of those things, and I want to be about the things that you called me to. In your name I pray, Jesus. Amen.
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well.
With my soul.
Jesus' name.
It's finally time. The journey starts next week. And if you don't do anything else, you need to get in the group to do the journey. We've got over a month worth of material coming, and I don't want you to miss a second of it. Whether it's a book, signing up for a group, you can find all the things for the journey at crossroads.net/onlinejourney. That's it for this week. I'll see you next week for Heroes, Your Path to Greatness.
Hey, I'm Chuck, and I want to tell you how God used this to help me understand more of who He made me to be and what that can mean for you. By the way, friends, this is a cassette tape, and it's actually the first place I volunteered around Crossroads. I came to Crossroads, and some random guy said, hey, would you like to reproduce tapes at the end of the message so other people can take it for free and share it with their friends? I'm like, yeah, okay, I'll do that. It was an opportunity to jump in and serve. I had no idea that I was going to make some friendships through that relationship that would continue to this day. I had no idea that was going to lead to me understanding more about how I could engage at Crossroads, which led to me teaching students, which led to me teaching on stage, which led to me leaving my corporate job and becoming a pastor full time, which has led to what I'm doing today. All of that happened for me because I went on a journey of serving. And we're going to be talking about that in this next journey that we're doing. It's the hero's journey. You know, all of us want a life that matters. We want a life that lives for the greater good. I found that through something as simple as a cassette tape and saying yes to serving in a church. And I believe that God might do the same thing for you. In fact, it was one of these journeys later on that led me to what I'm leading right now, Living Undivided in this movement of courageous love. We do these journeys, and there's time on the weekend to be taught. There's time in a guide to do some personal reflection with God, and then there's time in a group. And it was at one of those times of reflection, we were doing the brave journey, and it was all about what's the brave next step God's calling you to take in your life? What does it look like to walk on water? When I heard God, through my reflection, say, I want you to be a voice for racial healing, solidarity, and justice. And that led to this incredible thing being birthed in our church called Undivided, which now is through the movement of courageous love called Living Undivided and Working Undivided. And it's happening. 7,500 people have gone through it. Cities are joining every day. All of that came from a journey that we did in our church. So listen, these next 5 weeks are going to be an incredible opportunity for you to maybe understand what serving can look like and how it can change your life. I don't know what's going to happen on the other side of that. Maybe it'll be life-changing for you, maybe not, but I do know this. God has a habit of blowing away our expectations and using something as simple as reproducing tapes to take us an entirely new direction in our life. Speaking of tapes, we got some music here. What do we got? What do we got on tap here? Paula Abdul. Yes.
Love you forever. Oh, oh, oh. Am I caught in a hit and run?
Do the journey straight up.